I've got a very unique situation in, let me see if I can find the first part of my emails. We've just discovered that a CP holder since 2015 is the CP holder at the certificate of purchase. In other words, the taxes are delinquent and they've gone through the tax sale. And this person is paying the taxes for the interest on a property that has a lien on it for $224,000. The value of the home and the lot, as per the assessor, is $72,000. Medicare, the state of Wyoming Medicare, just filed this lien against the property in October. Medicaid paid all of the medical bills for this individual. He's deceased. So the state of Wyoming has prior lien against the property. It's before mine with the CP. So I emailed other treasurers, and Carbon County said they had that happen at their tax sale this year. They had a CP holder that could have filed for a deed and discovered the city of Rawlins had put a lien on the property for $67,000 for demolishing a building on the property and let it go back to the county. It was not picked up. So I have called my CP holder, told her what's going on. She would like to be out from under this. But I don't know what you guys think about the county dealing with the state of Wyoming rather than a CP holder.
What's your gut instinct on what we should do on that?
Well, Natrona County said they've had this several times with Medicaid patients. And normally what happens is the individual files for a deed with an agreement with the state of Wyoming that as soon as they get the deed, then they put it up for sale and somehow divide the monies up when it sells. This is a really old house, 60, I think it was built in 60 something. I'm not even sure that you could get the 72,000 out of it that it's listed for, assessed at.
Can you tell us how much this?
A couple of thousand, I believe, is what she's got into it. And I've told her if the county so chooses to have her assign the CP to the county, she will just get her funds back. She won't get any interest for the time that we've held the funds. I don't know.
Is this someone that's been awarded a lot of CPs, or is this their first one?
She only has this one. Okay. I don't know that she's had a CP in the past.
Okay. So pretty new to the whole.
To the whole scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
I just have a question. There's no way she can negotiate with the state, right, because the lien is so high and the value of the property is, like we talked about, $70,000 and the lien is almost $250,000. So that example that Natrona County provided, it probably wouldn't be feasible here, right?
I don't know. I have not talked to the state. When we discovered this, Sharla called the state and they confirmed with her that they had filed this lien. But they she asked them about redemption, or if they were going to pay the lien, the CP holder back, and they said that normally they wait for the family to contact them and then make a deal from there, but there is no family to contact on this.
There's no next of kin, there's no...
Nope.
Go ahead. So, Roxanna, would it be fair in your mind if somehow that property sold, the CP holder gets their 2,000 plus interest, and then the rest goes to mitigate the mortgage with Medicare or Medicaid, whatever that is?
I think the Medicaid lien would take priority, right?
Right.
Yeah. They would pay that off first, and there wouldn't be anything.
There wouldn't be anything for the CP holder.
Not even know if it was just $2,000.
Hmm.
There's no negotiating there at all, probably.
I don't believe so.
So really,
the lien would still be against the property, but
the lien's got the precedence over the taxes deal.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep.
So if that's the case, there's nothing we can do, is there?
Other than
Let the lady out of the
take the
individual
CP over, which forgets CP. Her of that obligation.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel about having her assign her CP to the county, her being paid back the funds that she's paid in, then the county has to deal with the state of Wyoming. Yeah. I don't know.
To me, it sounds like that is the fairest way to do this, for this person to get their investment back, and then we'll deal with the state, but if anybody takes a screw in, it'll have to be us.
Mm-hmm. We're going to lose two.
Yeah,
grand.
We'll be the ones. We'll lose more than that.
Obligation. We're going to lose.
But is that
grand.
Right?
Right. I know. I understand.
We're good at it.
It depends on if you're the CP holder.
Well, hey, you know that happens. You run that risk.
That's a gambling job.
It is. Yeah.
So I'd be inclined to do that
anyway.
Okay.
Obviously, the taxes she's paid are already paid. There's no way to forgo in the current situation.
No, once the CP holder is paid,
I
turn around and distribute those taxes. I don't hold them.
You can't recover them. So we would be generating money from someplace to pay her off. Because it's not going to be a refund of her taxes.
No, it's true.
Well,
once again, what's...
It would be like an abatement. I would charge all those entities for those taxes, take them back so that she could be paid back. But
what's the legal answer and what's the moral answer? Once again, though, it's the county taxpayers that it will be footing the bill on this, too. So is that the moral thing to do, is charge the county taxpayers or not?
On somebody's risk?
Somebody else's risk. On somebody else's risk.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and since this has never happened to us before, you would be setting a precedent.
Yes.
So.
So perhaps the best thing to do is nothing.
Yeah.
I'd say she's on her own, unfortunately.
I'm afraid. I hate to do that, but it would be setting a precedent.
I agree.
One did the other. So I think the best action is no action.
Okay. That's what I needed to hear so I can correspond with her.
Yeah, sorry.
It's one of the last acts.
Yes, yes it is.
Wear your print suit.
Yeah. Stick around, Roxanna.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. The next thing on the agenda is retirement presentations. And we have here some plaques for our outgoing elected officials that I'll present the first one to Chairman Nelson, and then he can help present the rest.
All right. That sounds good.
We have this is one from the county, Andy.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful.
And this one is from the Wyoming County Commissioners Association for annual service to the state of Wyoming and to Sedgwick County.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you very much.
And also,
oh, and
this was from Ed and Ed Donuts. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. We need to get Roxanna back.
She's here. I told her to stay.
Oh, she's here. Come on up, Roxanna. Mary, remind me how many years?
Too many.
Roxanna started working for the county in
1982. 1982 today. It's a lot of years. Thank you, Roxanna.
And the other dinosaur.
Yeah. The original dinosaur.
How many years, Mary?
32.
38
and a half for the county. And
32
is the clerk.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Clay is not here, so.
I can take his spot.
Okay.
Although he's not retiring.
The only other thing I have here, and I don't know what Mary's going to want to do with it, I have here an appreciation thing from BLM for the county service and the JIO POPO Mitigation Board. And BLM had plaques for all the partners that do all that. So
we'll get it put up someplace.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Up somewhere.
Good.
And that is it.
Thank you.
Consists of that for now.
Appreciate it.
For now.
Yeah. At this point.
Mike, at this point.
Do you want to come fill us in on this rehab project?
No, you're just going to sit back there.
looked like he was comfortable.
I know. Mr. Chairman, thanks for getting us on the agenda. Just to give you a little background, the group of agency folks, both federal, state, and county, have engaged as a result of the Roosevelt Fire to work with natural resource concerns due to the effects of the fire. And to give you a little, some of the other commissioners that haven't been around as long as the two on the end. This same group, and it's expanded a little bit, I'd say. Some more partners have jumped on board, started originally after the Fontenelle Fire in 2012. And what they did is they got together and realized there was a need to address resource concerns that weren't a part of the suppression effort of the fire or the repairs associated with the suppression effort, longer term effects. And so the group got together and did a bunch of grant writing and chasing of dollars from the effects of that fire to help with the impacts to the private property owners due to natural resources and grazing impacts, as well as the impacts to federal property that all the land users utilize. And at that time, we chased grants from the feds down to the county, which you guys supported that effort at that time. Then in 2016, with the Cliff Creek Fire, that same group mobilized, only we had one, you know, to learn lessons learned from the first one. And that impact obviously was a lot smaller. There was next to no private property involved with that fire. It was more effects of the landowners, the grazers, and the public that utilized that ground associated with the Cliff Creek Fire. And it was a smaller need, and a lot of it was able to be adjusted within the two allotments that were affected, so there wasn't a big displacement of livestock outside of the Hoback Basin. And we found grants through Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Mule Deer Foundation, Big Game Trust, and WWNRT, I think, were the main outside of the forest and their internal funding. So we were able to to tackle that one and do a successful job with some erosion, livestock mitigation, vegetation restoration on that, and weed treatments associated with that. And then this fire started in September, and it wasn't, I think it was the third day of the fire that we started emailing back and forth. You know, I mean, it was just, we're getting better, yeah, is what I'm getting at, the traction. We were meeting in fire camp. Chad and Gary were assigned to the fire. I was assigned to the fire, and we'd meet when other people would come in before we go to the fire line, you know, and start talking about what we're seeing and the opportunities, reaching out to some of the previous funders and so on that we talked to. Because we had some projects in the Hoback Basin with applications pending to, like, Bob Budd and others. And they were totally supportive of that, and we went forward. So with that, the groups met four times, I believe. We've held one public meeting at the Bondurant Elementary School. That meeting was more tied to the private landowners solely. We were targeting those, just the landowners themselves. And we offered our services to do assessments to their property with a burn severity map, slope, soils, to kind of help them. And the majority, we had some in the Upper Hoback, but the majority of them were private landowners within the ranches that took advantage of that. We reached just under 35 people so far and gave them a nice packet of tools that they can use once the snow melts to try to mitigate soil movement, restoration of the vegetation, and so on. We also have done a larger effort with some of the large ranches as well as the federal property. We developed a need that's with the several pending scenarios of, you know, if this rancher goes to this allotment or we shift cattle, you know, because that isn't all finite yet or been decided. Of just under about $2 million is what the need is for the next 2 years to ensure at least one growing season, if not two, depending on how Mother Nature treats us, that's needed, along with infrastructure. There was a lot of fence that was burned up, as well as a lot of natural boundary on the rim where it was heavy timber that cattle didn't tend to drift back and forth, that now is sticks and is going to have a lot of good grass and cattle love hollyhock that come back into the fire and stuff, that now it's going to be a more open, so there's going to be a need there to put some additional fence that wasn't on currently in place or in the system as far as maintenance or any of that, as well as displacement with riders and weed treatments, both on private and federal. Both the Weed and Pest Board has authorized funding, as well as we've got some funding through the BLM and the forest, but in our history past, we know we're still a little short on that funding just to go out. The weed treatments tend to go out at least, this summer, so that'd be 18, we were 6 years, and that's the last weed treatment we'll do on the Fontenelle Fire through Weed and Pest. I just wrote a check to him for the last of the funding we had available to treat the Fontenelle Fire. So those go way past, you know, the 6 years or the 2 years that we try to ensure for vegetation response post-fire. And so I guess I'm in front of you today to see if you guys want to partner again with the group as far as trying to assist with the recovery of the natural resource side of it. And just to, before I get to that, I guess, on the other note, I came to you when the fire was still burning about EWP.
Yeah.
NRCS, after a strong arm from our congressional delegation, rethought their take of not qualifying because it was a man-made fire, and it did qualify. And then obviously there were some press releases that came before I was notified that we got the money due to Washington stuff. But we did get the funding, and you guys are co-sponsors, as you're aware. So we did get the funding. The total project was $581,000 to work on the rim road and associated infrastructure within the ranches for erosion control.
That's EWP money.
EWP money solely. The money that is going to come through my shop, the 75% of that is $435,750. And that's just to go to 75 identified practices or areas that we were able to get into before the snow fell, those areas to go back in as soon as the snow comes off to address.
Right. And that's within all within
Hoback all within Hoback Ranches. That grant is solely tied to that. They have to come with 25%, which I'm still meeting with their board to make sure that they can come to that table, or else we won't even be able to come to
and
that.
This the key words there are for erosion control.
Correct. These are not to replace culverts that are undersized. It's not to fix the problem that's there.
Right.
Because we all know there's some serious issues with that infrastructure.
Okay.
It's to keep it from totally going away so there's no first responder or ingress egress for landowners. Okay.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Just for clarification, when we heard from Jim Mitchell today, that money that Hoback Ranches was just awarded that grant, was that the
FMAG grant?
It was hazard mitigation.
But I think that's the match for this.
That's what I was getting to. That is.
So it can't. So federal dollars can't match federal dollars.
Right.
So they have to come with their fundraising.
We're all misinformation again.
Yeah.
So the way it'll work is they're going to have to use some of that money the Lions Club generated. The mineral royalties grant they applied for and was awarded.
Yeah.
State and non, it can't not be federal dollars can't match
federal dollars.
And that's the what we're coming to with this is, you know, some of this will be federal. I was able last week, Joel was there, we secured $400,000 from JIO Papo,
right.
$200,000 from each fund.
Right.
You know, but there is some other federal funding we're going to chase that have a cost share associated with it, like WLCI and so on. That we need all the non-federal to help.
So I guess my
leverage dollars.
Question is, what we were told this morning was just we were misinformed.
But the mineral royalty grant, that's state money, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct, and that can.
Okay,
that's what he were talking. That's what I was talking.
But the FMAG, the FEMA
no,
mineral
royalty grant. FMAG money we haven't even done yet.
Yeah. Okay.
The mineral royalty grant money was the 288.
Right, of which 145,000
that can be used for the 25%.
Correct.
Okay. So we don't have the match to worry about.
So if we choose to partner again with you in this, what is the county's role?
So I'm seeing it similar to the Fontenelle or what we call the Piney Creeks project. Is it'd be a financial match to help leverage other grants that we're chasing. I currently have, like we're looking, a lot of the grants, the NGO grants are at January kind of deadline. Yeah. I have a grant right now sitting into Muley Fanatics for about 8,000. We asked for 10, but I was told it'd be more like 8. Big Game Trust Fund, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Mule Deer Foundation, a lot of these grants require match. We're going to utilize a lot of that to help fund projects. And the gamut of the projects is, because it's leverage, is everything from, like I said, the erosion control, weeds, infrastructure, cost share on the federal, and Chad can speak to this a little better if I screw it up, but the federal dollars that are assigned do not do private property to force boundary fence construction.
Yeah.
So a lot of that, because that's owned by the private property in the forest size, we have to work with those large, and these are the large tract ranches, to try to find money for them through, you know, EQIP or National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grants that we got, but there's a match required. And so that's what a lot of the JIO Papo stuff will go to make sure it's wildlife friendly, because it's a mitigation fund, and the county would use to do that for, you know, infrastructure, weeds. We don't know yet. There might be a need for trucking. These guys just turn out their back door. The allotments that we're looking at, you know, aren't out their back door anymore. So like the Fontenelle, we Game and Fish offered up some of their units but they had to truck to them like Half Moon or Soda. Or the Upper Green cattle, the Upper Green allotment said they would take livestock. So there's a potential, you know, to at least get them to the drift, you know, to get them up to the Trapper's Point or whatever. There's a lot of unknowns yet because the producers themselves are still trying to scramble to figure out what they're going to do. But it'd be, I can't tell you it's going to go, it won't go to one thing. It's going to be spread across, similar to how Piney Creek, your guys' 50,000 went to 12 or so different projects spanning everything under the sun that was done,
right,
associated with the MCAS.
So, Mary, would you remind all of us how that worked with the Fontenelle Fire, the amount of money, what we did with it, and who managed it, all that stuff?
So we ran $50,000 on the Fontenelle Fire. We gave the money to the Conservation District, and they administered the money, administered the project. Okay. We just wrote a check, so okay, it was pretty easy for us.
Pretty simple on our end.
Conservation District to all of these efforts has been just integral, because when we get Forest Service dollars, you know, we've got to spend them on Forest Service ground. And when we get these other dollars, WWNRT, Elk Foundation, etc., the Forest Service touches them, we immediately have obligations and our hands are tied. When we funnel them through the district, then we have flexibility with what we can do with those funds to assist our permittees and our you know, other partners. And they've been wonderful.
Well, we have the ability to funnel some of that Forest Service and BLM money through the district.
The Forest Service money probably won't go through the district. It'll go right back into Forest Service infrastructure.
Except for, it doesn't go to the district, but the bear money will go
the bear
directly
money will get
to Weed
funneled,
and Pest.
And then it'll go through Weed and Pest for in the project.
And you can use some of that, like, for rebuilding forest boundary fence like you did on the Fontenelle Fire.
Well, the forest boundary fence on Fontenelle we were able to do because it was between us and BLM. And so we were able to spend federal dollars on that federal ground. The stuff between forest and private, our hands are tied as far as expending federal funds for that. That's where some of the county's assistance, we can take those dollars and we can pair them up with NRCS dollars, which can be used on private property, and make sure that we're able to work that out to the benefit of everyone.
So, Mike, what you need from us today is an agreement to enter into a partnership again?
If the board so does, or the commission so does desire.
Okay. And to the, any idea on what that would cost us?
Mr. Chairman, I did not, there's a, the size between the two fires is roughly the same. The percent private ground is drastically different.
It's different.
Fontenelle was 1% private to the tune of about 640 acres. This one's 15% private. And there's a lot of landowners that were running into hiccups that aren't eligible for NRCS dollars because of a whole slew of different reasons, with the federal system on the NRCS side. But I didn't feel I was warned for me to come with an ask, I guess.
Okay.
Just because
we talked about it and we recognized that the commission's already working.
You've helped the ranches out a lot, so I didn't feel it was worth it.
I don't
spot.
Think I have a problem with joining one more time, but I do think I would need an amount.
Okay.
Or not to exceed or something.
We'll
never get an amount out of you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to make a stab at it, and this is just a ballpark stab based on the circumstances. And my preference would be to do it the same way we did the last time, to simply provide the district the money, and then Mike can use that for cost sharing with different entities, as like he talked about. I make a recommendation we provide $100,000 for mitigation, with the understanding we're doing an awful lot as we speak within Hoback Ranches. And I don't want to make it sound like I don't want to put more money in Hoback Ranches, but I think there's so much need outside of that. I'd like to see it used for natural resources outside Hoback Ranches. Does that make sense? Is that doable, do you think, in your opinion?
Yeah, and just to say about the same thing, you know, we're doing a lot for the ranch as a district and the group as a whole. We've noticed that a lot of the private property outside the ranches has been forgot about.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of need. And yes, so a lot of the money outside of this EWP, that's natural resources, most of the other funding we're chasing is strictly to work on everything else. There's been a lot of effort and focus put on the ranches, and there's a great need there. I'm not arguing that at all.
That's my point as well.
It's just we forgot about a lot of the other private lands.
Can we commit X amount without, or does it have to be the amount that the match is?
No. So when we go for grants or when I write grants, you know, I use a dollar amount.
Okay.
So if you guys commit a dollar amount, that then means I can show a dollar. It doesn't have to be a percentage at all.
All right. Go ahead.
So I have a question for clarification, obviously. You said you didn't come here really in the capacity to ask for money. So is this decision something we have to make today?
I didn't come with a dollar amount. I was going to roll with the old.
The ask is here, but not the dollar amount.
I mean, I was going to roll with the 50 just because it's, you know, about the same, and I know
so
you guys have done
a lot. Question, does this decision have to be made today?
The sooner the decision's made, the better we can apply for these grants or do the end of the year and the 15th of January and so on, because it's, there's a difference between applied for and committed when grants are reviewed, and so if it's committed, it's obviously solid.
We leaned very heavily on the commission last time. We were getting our feet under us and figuring the whole process out for the bridge money to go after the grants. And again, this time, most of these grants that we're applying for have a December 31st, January 15th deadline for us to go after them, and that's what we're chasing right now.
Commissioner Burnett.
Well, I understand that they're not here to, the original intention was to come and ask for money, but also understand that the reason you're here is to ask for our partnership, and I understand the chairman's comment about before you make a commitment, you would like to know what that involvement is. Having put all those three things out there together, I'm in agreement with Chairman Bousman that we can, I would recommend moving forward with the
So document. I think he made a motion. So how you
would
support that is you would second it.
He said recommendation.
I thought he made a motion.
I made it to be a motion.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I took it.
Okay. I was listening for motion.
So you got the second.
I got the second.
So it has been moved and seconded that we contribute $100,000, not to exceed $100,000 toward this project. Further discussion.
Where do we get the money?
See, we just screwed up Mary's budget transfer.
That's what I was going to say.
How many hours?
It's going to be Carrie's budget transfer in March.
It took us 5 hours to screw up a budget transfer.
Yeah.
That's a record.
We broke that record last time.
That's true. We did it in the first hour 1 year.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true.
We could have done that with the Suburban.
Sure,
we could.
Okay, so I think the motion should be amended that we take the money that was going to be spent on a new Suburban and apply it to this grant.
No, I'll stick with the original.
Okay, any further discussion?
Oh, what fun are you?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for your help.
Yep,
we appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay.
Tell Carrie of her new challenge. Right?
So, yeah, we already screwed up your budget transfer. Sorry, Carrie.
There you go.
I need a voucher.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, I would like to say simply thank you for all your help.
Thank you.
Some of it's been good, some of it's been rough, but I've enjoyed working with each and every one of you, and I truly mean that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Don't forget, we've still got a lot of Brandon's to come.
I'm coming. Absolutely right. The only other thing that I have to say was more directed toward the public, and sometimes it's better to be kind than to be right.
Well, I'd like to say I appreciate your effective leadership and wisdom over the last 2 years, and I will miss you.
Appreciate that. Thank you, gentlemen.
And if you have any complaints, be happy to call the chairman, whoever.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said, if you need me, don't call.
Let's see, Friday afternoon, I guess.
Yeah. Let's see, is that this week or next?
It's this week.
This week?
What?
No.
Friday afternoon.
No, no. After Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're not going to ask for your last motion?
What's that?
You're not going to ask for your
last
motion?
Yes. Make my last motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Look at his smile.
I'll do this like I've done it every other time. We're out of here. Yeah. I'm not even waiting for a motion.
Yeah, but you're smiling way bigger.
We're
gone.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
You bet.
High five. Yeah. Awesome.
There's some of us that look happier than others.
Yeah. So I'm going to go
understand. There you go.
I'm going to be
thank you very much.
By sometime. Thank you.
We'll see you here in a week.
Yes, you will.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Thank you.
I got to run to work.
Like you're leaving me behind.
Yep. I got to run to work.
Is that our phone?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Let's open it and see.
You know, there's some things in the screen track that don't hold a
chair. Look.
Okay.
We do.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.